The First World War is responsible for massive destruction and death of millions. But unexpectedly, some of the effects had a positive impact on social issues. Under new conditions, people were forced to cope with problems of war in daily life. While the majority of men was fighting at the front, women stayed at home. Because of lack of men in the country, women had to take over the role of men. Thereafter, women began to demand their rights. The activity known as emancipation of women, or later feminism. Before the outbreak of war in August 1914, women held very traditional roles in family life. Working class women were still tied to the home or continued to work for very low wages in factories, on farms, or as domestic servants. The expansion of women's education allowed some women to enter careers which had previously been male-dominated, but only those careers that were deemed suitable, such as teaching, nursing, and office work. An emerging women's movement campaigned to liberate women and to change these traditional roles, campaigning for rights such as the vote. Women were judged by their beauty rather than by their ability. Their position and status were directed towards maintaining the annual duties of the family and children. These duties consisted of cleaning and caring for the house, caring for the young, cooking for the family, maintaining a yard, and sewing clothing for all. Women had worked in textile industries and other industries as far back as 1880, but had been kept out of heavy industries and other positions involving any real responsibility. Just before the war, women began to break away from the traditional roles they had played. During the First World War, large number of women were recruited into jobs vacated by men who had gone to fight in the war. New jobs were also created as part of the war effort, for example, in munitions factories. The high demand for weapons resulted in munitions factories becoming the largest single employer of women during 1918. Though there was initial resistance to hiring women for what was seen as men's work, the introduction of conscription in 1916 made the need for women workers urgent. Around this time, the government began coordinating the employment of women through campaigns. The women working in munitions factories were from mainly lower class families and were between the ages of 18 and 30 years old. A critical role consisted of making materials that supplied the war at the front. It was dangerous and repetitive work because they were constantly around and engaged in toxic fumes, as well as handling dangerous machinery and explosives. Some women would work long hours. The factories all over Britain in which women worked were often unheated, deafeningly noisy, and full of noxious fumes and other dangers. Some of the common disease and illness which occurred were drowsiness, headaches, eczema, loss of appetite, cyanosis, shortness of breath, anemia, palpitation, jaundice, and mercury poisoning. By 1917, munitions factories, which primarily employed women workers, produced 80% of the weapons and shells used by the British Army. Known as canaries because they had to handle the chemical compounds that is used an explosive agent in munitions, which caused their skin to turn yellow. These women risked their lives working with poisonous substances without adequate protective clothing or the required safety measures. Around 400 women died from overexposure to TNT during the First World War. General famine jobs. Even though many women were in high demand for industries where previously men were dominant, long-established feminine jobs were still common during the war. The Seattle Post Intelligencer and Seattle Times had a full listing of open positions for general housework and other general domestic jobs. The war actually created more domestic jobs because many women who worked in factories and outside their homes were not able to care well enough for their children. Women also headed to the war front to work in hospitals, treating injured soldiers, while many nurses continued to help the injured at home. Organizations such as the Red Cross also made efforts in supporting wartime. Women in the Red Cross were also helpful in recruiting men who had not joined the war, for example, by making women speak at public meetings, encouraging others to have nothing to do with men who had not joined the war. Non-traditional jobs. Before the wartime, it was unusual in this country for women to enroll in higher courses of mathematics because the women's role wasn't to work in male-dominated industries. Therefore, getting higher education and obtaining specific skills wasn't a common road that most women followed. During World War I, however, women worked in virtually every field of industry. Newspapers started to cover more women's work related articles, help ads and spoke out about women's great successes in education, sports and various other areas in society. Women were replacing men's jobs such as railroad workers, auto drivers and other machine operators. After the war. The end of the war meant that women were expected to return to their previous roles and allow the returning soldiers to take back their jobs. Whilst the number of women in work returned to pre-war levels, the war did result in a number of permanent changes. A wider range of jobs were now available to women. By 1928, all women were granted the right to vote, reflecting their changed status within society. For some, life after the war offered new opportunities. The Sex Qualification Act of 1919 made it illegal to exclude women from jobs because of their gender. Educated middle-class women found that doors to the professions previously closed to them were suddenly opening. But there was an economic downside. The 1919 Restoration of Pre-War Practices Act forced most women to leave their wartime roles as men came home and factories switched to peacetime production. For some, the clock was turned back. Despite their pioneering contribution, thousands of women were dismissed from their jobs, particularly in engineering. Those who objected to standing aside were met with public anger. Electoral inequality. The suffragette movement finally received the recognition it had been seeking after over a decade of campaigning. But it was a partial victory, as only women over the age of 30 were allowed to vote. Outnumbered in an electoral system which gave all men over 21 the right to vote. Just one woman was elected to parliament in the general election of December 1918. In conclusion, women's employment rates increased during the First World War from 23% of the working age population in 1914 to between 37 and 46% in 1918. It is difficult to get exact estimates because domestic workers were excluded from these figures, and many women moved from domestic service into the jobs created due to the war effort. The employment of married women increased sharply. First World War was to give women a chance to show a male-dominated society that they could do more than simply bring up children and stay at home. In war, women played a vital role in keeping soldiers equipped with ammunition. The war was to prove a turning point for women. Before the war, women had no socio-economic power at all. By the end of the war, women had proved that they were just as important to the war effort as men had been. Women found employment in transportation, including the railroads and driving cars, nursing, factories making ammunition, and on farms in the Women's Land Army. Before the war, these jobs had been for men, only with the exception of nursing. As time passed by, could see the progress how women began to earn a great deal of respect through their active participation in labor and society during the wartime crisis. Women finally had the opportunity to show the world that they had just as much to contribute and had the right to take on as much responsibility as the men.